Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? How is it going? This is your host, Ryan Dorfman, back at it once again with the Cave Show. Although I don't really work with Paul Richardson anymore, I'm very grateful that he allows me to kind of take over this show every Wednesday and give you some MMA talk. I think he gave me 60 minutes today, which is way too much, but I'm not going to need all that time, and I don't even think I have any callers today because everyone has been flaking out. But if you are listening to this, there's a lot of MMA news that is going on at the moment, and I want to just kind of begin by briefly touching upon the UFC. And obviously, this is a very, very big week. There's two huge events in the MMA this week. One of them, obviously, is the UFC event taking place in Melbourne, Australia, with, obviously, middleweight champ Robert Whittaker going against Calvin Gastelum. I've had a lot of talks with people about this fight. It's been interesting to see what people think is going to happen. I thought that Gastelum was really sloppy in his last fight. I didn't think he looked that great. I think he got kind of caught a couple of times. I think he's a good fighter. I mean, obviously he won the Ultimate Fighter. He was the last pick on that season too. So, I mean, I'm not going to count him out because he does very, very well when his back's against the wall when he's an underdog. But Calvin Gastelum he's on one level, and Robert Whittaker is on another level. I really like Calvin Gastelum. I mean, he fights southpaw, he's a jiu-jitsu black belt. He's a very good wrestler. He moves deceptively quick for someone his size. I thought that his victory over Bisping was, I mean, Bisping is coming off, that loss against GSP, and then Gastelum comes in. And it was like, I mean, that fight, I mean, this thing, that fight was on like, that was like November 25th, that was like November 25th, 2017. And this thing fought St. Pierre on November 4th. That was literally like 3 weeks, and this thing was already, that was just kind of, I don't know, I didn't like that fight at all. And I think Gastelum didn't even do that well. Yeah, he got the KO in the first round, so obviously, yeah, he did really well. But I just thought he was really sloppy, and that against someone like Robert Whittaker, that wouldn't happen. And his performance against Souza, I need to go rewatch that fight again. I've already rewatched it once. I need to go rewatch it again because there were still things that I think he did better in that fight, but still, I still saw some of that. It's just, he's not on that level. He's not on that level that Whittaker is at. I think Whittaker's going to go in there, and I think Whittaker's going to start him. That's just my opinion. I think Whittaker's just a better martial artist all around. I don't really see any scenario where Gastelum wins this fight. I think Romero hits harder than Whittaker. I think Romero is a better wrestler than Whittaker. I think Romero hits harder than Gastelum. I think Romero is a better wrestler than Gastelum. I think Romero is a better fighter than Gastelum. So I'm gonna have to go with Robert Whittaker. And also, it's a home field advantage fight for Robert Whittaker. People, they don't understand that this guy's fighting in his home. This is his home, right? So he's not gonna lose. There's also some other really good fights on this card. Including one of my, I like this a lot, a women's flyweight fight with Montana De La Rosa versus Nadia Kassem. Montana De La Rosa, was a pretty good fighter a couple seasons ago on The Ultimate Fighter. She fought really well, and I like that. I thought she fought very, very well, and I'm looking forward to seeing how her career progresses. But obviously, the other co-main event being Israel Adesanya, the last Stylebender versus Anderson the Spider Silva. I mean, what can you say about this fight? Anderson Silva, probably the GOAT of MMA, in a lot of people's eyes. In my eyes, I didn't watch Anderson Silva coming up. I John Jones is my GOAT, but Anderson Silva is the GOAT for a lot of people. But the fact of the matter is that Anderson Silva is not the same guy that he once was. I mean, he's 43 years old. He's 43 years old. I'm about to turn 44 in April. So the man is, he's older now, and Israel Adesanya is 29. And he's not turning 30 until like July. So he's still got some time, you know, before he hits his 30s. You know, but Israel Adesanya is just, he kind of picks you apart, and it's crazy to think you're going to go in there and say, oh, Israel Adesanya is going to pick apart Anderson Silva. I think he's going to school him. Seriously, I really do. I think Israel Adesanya is going to school Anderson Silva in many, many ways during this fight. I think he's, you know, Anderson Silva is just, he's just kind of on the way out right now, in my opinion. Now, I understand why a lot of people would have an issue with me saying that. You know, it wasn't too long ago that he was fighting Daniel Cormier for the championship. I understand the gripe with that. Yeah, he just came off, you know, a unanimous decision win against Derek Brunson. I get that in February of 2017. But this is 2019. He didn't fight all year. He didn't fight all 2018. He did not fight once. And then his performances, you know, before this, I mean, he lost like 4 out of 5 fights. He lost to Weidman twice, Bisping, Cormier, in a no contest to Nick Diaz because he tested, because, you know, I mean, both of them. Diaz tested positive for marijuana. You know, that was when Silva was, you know, tested positive for steroids. So, I mean, to be honest, he lost 5 of his last fights before beating Brunson. I don't think Brunson's that good. So, in my opinion, Israel Adesanya is going to, you know, cruise in this fight. And to be honest, I mean, he's making a case, you know, to be that next guy up for middleweight. You know, I think Adesanya is a better fighter than Gastelum, and that's just my opinion. So I think that'll come to fruition, you know, on Saturday night. But as much time as I spent talking about UFC, I really could care less compared to the bigger event, in my opinion, which is Combate Mexicali. Combate Mexicali is coming up, and that's going to be huge. I don't think you guys understand how good the main event is going to be. We have this guy, Rafa Garcia. This guy's an animal. I saw this man fight in Phoenix. It was my first event with the company, and he's a beast. He trains with the top guys in the world. He's one of the best lightweights out here. UFC, Combate, doesn't matter what promotion. This guy is a killer. He's a straight killer, straight predator beast. All right, Rafa Garcia is the real deal. He's undefeated, too. I think he's 8-0. The guy's a beast. All right, he's fighting against a guy named Edgar Escarrega. And I'm telling you right now, you better watch out for Rafa Garcia because this man is going to put on a show in Mexicali. And the only place you can watch this event is live on the Zone. Okay, live on the Zone. I believe it's on Univision Deportes as well. But if you want to watch English speaking, you know, obviously Gilbert Melendez, Juliana Pena, Alberto Del Rio. I mean, this is a star-studded cast that are going to be the English speaking talent commentating for this event. Max Britos might be in there as well. It's going to be a crazy, crazy, crazy event. And Rodolfo Garcia is the real deal. This man is the real deal. So I'm very, very much looking forward to watching him fight against Edgar Escarrega. More fights. You know, Edgar Chavez versus Alejandro Salazar for the flyweight co-main. That's going to be very, very good. I'm looking forward to that as well. Some more fights on the card. Misael Iñárritu versus Alex Velasco. That is a lightweight fight. You got Christopher Ortega versus Antonio Marquez, another lightweight. Saul Cabrera versus Christian Perez, another lightweight fight. A lot of lightweight fights on this card. Laura Huzar versus Dulce Hernandez, an atomweight fight. Carlos Ochoa versus Christian Gonzalez at featherweight. Ramon Vizcar versus Ernesto Ibarra at bantamweight. Jennifer Favela versus Yasmin. I don't even know how to pronounce her last name. It's Jauregui. Sounds like at flyweight. Santiago Monreal versus Heber Castillo at flyweight. And Ramiro Jimenez versus Jesus Blanco at lightweight. So, honestly, a ton of lightweight fights. They got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lightweight fights. All right, lightweight fights. You got a couple flyweights, 3 of those. We got a featherweight, we got an atomweight, okay, we got a bantamweight. So it's going to be a star-studded night, and it's going to be crazy because Rafa Garcia really is the real deal. The guy's a beast. I'm going to try to have him on my podcast after his fight. I didn't really do it before. The guy's busy training. I'm not going to ask him to do that, but he's an absolute beast. Watch out for this guy, Misael Iñárritu. I think this guy is a very bright future. I like him in this fight against Alex Velasco. I'm going with this guy to be like a surprise, not really surprise, I want to say, but the kind of you know, out of all of those undercard fights, I'd say that that's not the co-main or the main. I'd say that that's the fight that I'm really looking forward to seeing. As well, I'm also looking forward to seeing Dolce Hernandez versus Laura Huizar fight. That should be really good. And Saul Cabrera versus Christian Perez should also be very good. So, I mean, there's a lot of good fights, as well as Ramon Descar versus Nessa Ibarra. A lot of great fights on this card. So tune in to DAZN, Univision Deportes. That's where it's going down. And we're having a big year. Combate's having a big year this year, coming, you know, to all different kind of places. So obviously, if you haven't heard, Alberto Del Rio is making his return this year for Combate, and that's going to be huge. And so you'll hear about that eventually. You know, I don't know if we're able to kind of disclose who it's against, so I'm not going to say anything. But you know, the opponent or opponents we have in the line that we're talking about for him are it's pretty big. So it's going to be a pretty great fight, and I'm looking forward to that as well. We're going to be, you know, expanding our horizons this year, going to different places that you know, maybe people haven't seen us before. So I'm really looking forward to this year with Combate. It's going to be a very big year, and it all kicks off this event, Combate Mexicali, February 8th. Get ready, strap in. Rafa Garcia. It's going to be insane. Let's keep going and let's keep talking, because there's other news as well. I understand this is MMA talk. I was watching the press conference with John Jones and Anthony Smith and Cody Garbrandt and Pedro Munhoz and Robbie and Ben Askren and Kamaru Usman and Tyron Woodley. That's fun, man. I don't know if guys have seen that yet. I would you know, go back and watch that, because Ben Askren's a comedian. Same as Kyle wasn't in the UFC before. He's funny. But honestly, you know, look, this is the podcast about MMA talk, but I'll briefly discuss some stuff going on with the NBA, because this is, you know, it's sports radio. So I want to touch on some other things as well. And obviously this Anthony Davis talk about him getting traded is a pretty big deal. He's one of the best players in the NBA. He's one of the best players in the NBA. Los Angeles Lakers need to trade for this guy. But the issue is right now that Pelicans are asking for way too much. Lakers are throwing out good deals out here, in my opinion. I mean, Lonzo and Kuzma and Ingram and Rondo and Hart and, like, two picks. So, you know, it's just like, and taking Solomon Hill off, you know. It's just, they're throwing out good offers, in my opinion, you know. I mean, for Anthony Davis, I mean, what? I mean, if they're just going to wait, I mean, if Boston gets him, holy schmoly, you know, holy smoke, it's going to be crazy, because, you know, Philly just traded for Tobias Harris, and that's nuts, man. But in my opinion, if I were the Los Angeles Lakers, I'm doing everything I can get people for LeBron James. And I know that he wants Anthony Davis. That's no mystery. He's ready to trade the entire team for Anthony Davis. He doesn't care. That's kind of LeBron's mindset. They lost by 42 points last night. 42 points. I think it was LeBron's worst. Lost by 42 points. And you have a guy, a clown, LeVar Ball, coming out, talking about LeBron. Talking about Lonzo. Talking about Luke Walton, talking about how he thinks that the Lakers gave Lonzo a losing attitude. Lonzo is with LeBron James. LeBron James makes everyone better. He's talking about how Kuzma wouldn't be as good without Lonzo. I'm sorry, Kuzma's good. Kuzma's probably the best player in that deal. I think he's better than Ingram. I think he's better than Lonzo. I think Lonzo's not even that good. I really don't. In my opinion, if I was the Los Angeles Lakers, I'm doing everything I can humanly possible for Anthony Davis. I don't want him to go to the Celtics. Celtics get him. That's trouble. That series would be crazy. The Celtics and the Sixers. Now, the Sixers have Tobias Harris. Celtics, stop giving away Jason Tatum. I don't think you need to give away Jason Tatum. I think you could wait this out. Listen, Anthony Davis is going to walk. Okay, let's say he doesn't get traded at all. He's going to walk. He's not staying in New Orleans. The leverage belongs not to New Orleans. The leverage belongs to Boston. So I'm not, for me, I'm not trading away Jason Tatum for Anthony Davis. I mean, is Anthony Davis a better player? Of course right now he is, you know. But Jason Tatum's a beast, you know. I don't want to trade away Jason Tatum. Like, that's crazy, you know. I don't think you need to do that. I think you can get Anthony Davis for less, in my opinion. But the Pelicans are just being really stingy and stubborn and asking for so – I mean, they're asking for, like, 5 or 6 of the Lakers' best players and, like, 4 first-round picks in the future. Like, they're asking for way too much. Way too much. So, in my opinion, their wants and needs and desires is crazy. You know, it's way too much. So, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Let's switch it up and talk about the Super Bowl. By the way, yeah, that's what happened on Wednesday. Oh, and by the way, tomorrow's episode is going to be all about trade deadline. But listen, here's the thing on the Super Bowl. Super Bowl sucked. It was terrible. It was a terrible, terrible, terrible game. It was a defensive masterpiece by the Patriots. By the way, I find it really funny how the Miami Dolphins go ahead and hire the defensive coordinator for the Patriots. The day after Super Bowl ends, when they're like, all right, you're hired. They see what he does. And then they hire the pass wide receiver coach as an offensive coordinator. They're just taking everybody from the Patriots coaching staff and telling them to switch over to Miami. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know how I feel about hiring people that, like, I mean, you're in the AFC. We hate the Patriots. I don't want any of the Patriots. I mean, it's like, it's just, I mean, I don't understand. Like, there's just, it's like going from the Yankees to the Red Sox. The Red Sox to the Yankees. It's just like, I don't know how I feel about that. It's a weird feeling. But I'll tell you this. The game was terrible. The game sucked. I had money on the Rams. Like an idiot. You know, I should have known because they probably didn't deserve to be in that game in the first place because the Rams, I mean, sorry, the Saints did. But that's neither here nor there. The point is that they really played, like, they played terrible. My mindset was like, oh, well, Todd Peterson was a young coach and he outschooled Belichick, so why can't Sean McVay? But no, didn't work. I was like, oh, if Nick Foles can beat Tom Brady, then so can Jared Goff. No. Like, I mean, first of all, where was Todd Gurley for most of the game? I mean, they're trying to keep him rested and do all this stuff because he was a little hurt. But, I mean, that's the time to play. I mean, it's like, go out there. I don't care. Like, you don't get hurt. But it's like, what are you continuing to rest for? It's like, you got to put him in and let him play. It's the Super Bowl. There's no game. What are you resting him for? You know? I mean, this is the biggest game of the year. It's the Super Bowl. And he didn't play, like, the entire first half. It was terrible. He barely touched the ball, you know? And I think that was really the downfall of the offense for the Rams. They couldn't open up the passing game because the running game was terrible. C.J. Anderson is not a very good running back. He's not a starting running back. You saw that in Denver. He's not a starting running back. You saw that in Carolina. He's not a starting running back. He's not a starting running back. So, if it were me, I would have given Todd Gurley the ball. I thought the pass to Brandon, was it Brandon Cooks, the one that Stephon Gilmore picked off? First of all, Stephon Gilmore, according to something I read today, was tied with, like, Xavier Howard, like, technically the best wide receiver, according to, like, Next Gen Stats. Sorry, the best defensive back in the NFL. So you're going to throw at him in that way, Jared Goff, you're the first pick. I mean, come on. I mean, you need to do better than that. Like, that was not a – that was a bad throw. And for you to throw that in Stephon Gilmore's direction, it's just stupid. Stupid. It was stupid. Ramsey, for all that, you know, I mean, going into the season, oh, Ramsey. They didn't really do very well. They really didn't. I mean, they have Ndamukong Suh and Marcus Peters. And you have Aaron Donald. How do you mess that up? Double team Aaron Donald, Ndamukong Suh should get to the quarterback all day. If you double team, you know, Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald should get to the quarterback all day. How in the world is it that they weren't able to do this? They weren't able to penetrate that Patriots offensive line. The reason I went with the Rams is because Patriots played the Giants and lost twice. Like, the Giants were just, you know, they were able to hit Brady early. And clearly, the Rams weren't able to disrupt Brady. They let Edelman run all over the field. God Dan Boone Edelman. That guy is crazy quick. He just had security. It's just crazy. Like how the Patriots, like how they do this. How they draft the guys they draft. I mean, drafting Brady in the 5th round and Edelman in the 7th round. It's crazy. It's like the Spurs. And they're drafting Ginobili and Parker. Like, it's nuts. It's just absolutely nuts. And Gronk wasn't, I don't know if Gronk was a first round pick either. I mean, Rob Gronkowski, I mean, and for all we talk about how he's fallen off and how he made probably one of the biggest plays of the game in the Chiefs game and one of the biggest plays in the game in this game. And I mean, he's just kind of like that guy. He's that guy. I mean, right now, if you got to understand that Rob Gronkowski is 29 years old. He'll be 30 by the time the new season begins. I mean, I don't know. It's not good. But I'm looking right now. He got picked in the 2nd round. Round 2, pick 42. Patriots get these guys. I mean, who's going to make the case that Gronk and Edelman and Brady are all on different teams? Like, would they be as good? Is it really Belichick's system? Who's to say, right? You'll never know because Brady was in the Patriots his whole career. So was Gronk. So was Edelman, right? And Randy Moss, though. I mean, what are you going to say about that? I mean, Randy Moss comes in to the Patriots and sets a single-season, you know, wide receiver touchdown record. Is that because of Brady? Is some of it because of Brady? I bet. I mean, what if it was with Rodgers or Manning or Breeze? Like, I mean, who's to say? Who's to say that it's the system? But I'll tell you, Belichick's obviously a great. That's no doubt about that. But the Super Bowl sucks. I didn't even get to watch the commercials. I mean, the halftime show was kind of eh. Like, the whole thing was just the whole thing was just hard to watch. It sucked. Speaking of NFL, apparently Antonio Brown's in the news. Apparently he pushed a woman to the ground, and the police are investigating. You know, this happened on January 17th in Hollywood, Florida. He was involved in an alleged domestic dispute last month, but, you know, listen, I think Antonio Brown, it just sounds like he's on the downfall. Like, you know, the Steelers have moved on from him. They feel that Juju Smith-Schuster is their future. You know, they're willing to let Antonio Brown go. I don't know how I feel about that. On one hand, I feel like this could be his downfall, and he might never be the same player. On the other hand, he'll be 31. You know, he'll be 31 when the season begins. So who's to say? But if you look at this man's statistics this year, last year. I mean, he had four 100-yard games. He had 15 receiving touchdowns. 15 receiving touchdowns. Almost 1,300 yards. Okay? 1,300 yards, 15 touchdowns. The year before, 2017, 1,500 yards, only 9 touchdowns. Scored 6 more touchdowns. He had less yards, but he had 6 more touchdowns. I don't know what to say. The man is still Antonio Brown, but him getting in trouble and leaving the Steelers, all this just sounds very, very bad to me. Very, very bad. So I don't know if I'm feeling this. I don't know if I'm feeling Antonio Brown right now. I'm not feeling what he's doing. Domestic violence is not good. I don't like it. Speaking of domestic violence, though, what's going to happen with Kareem Hunt? Seriously. I mean, Ray Rice, he didn't get another shot. But people think that Kareem Hunt is going to get another shot. He's been linked to the Detroit Lions. I mean, what about his suspension, though? I mean, geez Louise. I mean, is he going to get suspended? I mean, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen for Kareem Hunt? Chiefs aren't going to re-sign him. We know that. But he's 23 years old, and when Ray Rice did his thing, he was, like, on the decline. I mean, if you look at Ray Rice's last season, which I'm going to pull up right now, the guy was on the decline. I mean, he's 32 right now. His last season, in 2013, that was 6 years ago. He was 26 years old and already on the decline, okay? Already in the decline, like, literally. I mean, he played like literally 2012. Listen to this: 1140 yards rushing, 1140 and 9 TDs. Okay, 478 yards receiving as well with the TD. The next year, another 16 games. The next year, he played 15 games. As just, you know, very close, you know, rushing attempts. 660 yards. 660 yards and 4 touchdowns. 321 receiving yards. 0 receiving TDs. Completely fell off a cliff. People saw that. Kareem Hunt is 23. He does not have a lot of mileage on those tires. I don't know what's going to happen. What do you do? Do you sign him? What about the media circus? People couldn't deal with the media circus for Michael Sam. People couldn't deal with the media circus for Ray Rice, for Tim Tebow, for Colin Kaepernick, for Greg Hardy. But what about Kareem Hunt? He is 23 years old. He's way better than Tebow. He's better and younger than Ray Rice. Come on. But then again, what about Kaepernick? I mean, that guy's still out there. He's still a free agent. Did you see the Redskins last year losing Alex Smith? They had to start like Josh Johnson or like Mark Sanchez. I mean, come on, man. Colin Kaepernick is way better than both of those fools. I'm sorry, but he is. He's a lot better than most. He's a lot better than a lot of the QBs out here. He's certainly a lot better than Nathan Peterman, guys like that. I mean, geez Louise. At this point, I'd say he's better than Eli Manning. Like, I mean, look, let the man play. Let the man play. He deserves to play. He's 31. He's going to be – he's not – you know, he just turned 31. Colin Kaepernick needs to be in the NFL. Kareem Hunt probably should be in the NFL. These are things that we need to talk about. Let's move on. Pistons dealt Stanley Johnson to the Bucks for Thon Maker. Thon Maker's been trying to get out of Milwaukee for a while. Wants a bigger role. I like that. I like that deal for Thon Maker. I think it's a very good deal. I think Stanley Johnson's a brother that came in. You know, he came in from the U of A. Who's going to be like a defensive star that needed to develop a shot? He hasn't really developed his offensive game. Thon Maker's a guy that came in really, really raw. I thought he was going to go to ASU for a little bit, actually. That was a funny thing, but he was a big man that could really run the floor. He a lot of great things about him. I'm happy he's on the Pistons now. You know, I think that he'll have maybe more of an opportunity to produce and do something. I'm happy he's out of Milwaukee. I'm happy, you know, maybe Stanley Johnson going to the Bucks, you know, improving their defense. Stanley Johnson's a better player right now. And it's a good deal for the Bucks. It's a good deal for Maker going to the Pistons. I think that's so far, like, that might be my favorite deal besides the Tobias Harris to Philly. Which, by the way, is insane. Philly and Boston, this series is going to be crazy. And then you got freaking Toronto also up there saying, like, don't forget about us. Like, we out here, you know, with Kawhi and Lowry. I mean, the East is no joke. I mean, the top three seeds in the East, that's no joke. So I'm looking forward to that. Look at the NBA playoff matchups right now. It's honestly, I mean, besides those top three, it's kind of comical in the East. But look at these playoff matchups. It's crazy. Milwaukee, Miami, that's easy. Milwaukee's going to wipe the floor. I'm a Heat fan, I'll tell you right now. Toronto's going to wipe the floor with Charlotte. Boston's going to wipe the floor with Brooklyn. Philly, right at this point, without Oladipo, they're going to wipe the floor with Indiana. Okay? That's going to be cake. In the West, Golden State's going to cream L.A. They just can't wait to buy his hair. They got nothing now. And speaking of which, the 8th seed, L.A. might not even make the playoffs. Okay? I'm talking about the Clippers, by the way. Denver and Utah, that'll be closer than that actually is. Actually, if you ask me, Denver versus Utah should be closer than it is. I think that'll probably go to like six games. Oklahoma City, San Antonio. I think San Antonio might win that series, to be honest with you. Oklahoma City plays a really selfish brand of basketball. Portland and Houston, man, that's going to be tough. I got to go to Houston, but Kobe's right. That brand of basketball that James Harden plays, they're not going to win a title. They can't. Not with that kind of – can't rely on someone to score 50 points a game. It just doesn't work. It's going to be like – like AI when he was on the Sixers trying to carry the team. That's not going to work, okay? So, Milwaukee and Philly, that would be the next – I mean, by the way, we forgot about Milwaukee. I just realized that. We completely forgot about the number one seed, Milwaukee. Like, the East is going to be nice, all right? Milwaukee and Philly, with this lineup, with this team, I'm rolling with Philly. And, you know, Boston-Toronto is going to be a great series, and it just – That's really tough, but at the back of my head, I got to go with Boston, and then I have to say Boston over Philadelphia, you know. Boston over Philadelphia for the East. And then, obviously, Golden State, you know, beating Houston again. I want to say either Oklahoma City or San Antonio beating Denver, Golden State beating that team, and then Golden State beating Boston. But look, it's going to be a crazy, crazy ending. Unfortunately, that kind of sums up our show today, guys, as I'm rambling on. But watch out for Combate Mexicali. Watch out for the UFC event. Stay tuned. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram. However you want to do it. Watch Combate Mexicali on the Zone. Trust me. All right. Take care, guys. I'll talk to you later. Peace.